Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I would like to discuss with you the difference between what I would call pastoral sermons and prophetic messages. Does that distinction make sense to you?
Makes a lot of sense, Dean. When you say pastoral, I'm thinking of the minister speaking to individuals within the congregation. You're pastoral, you're concerned about their needs, you're helping them work through their relationship with the Lord. Prophetic, it's more taking a bigger stance, and then you're looking at the nation. You're saying, where is the world? Let me tell you the big trends that are happening. It's like Isaiah, he's talking to the nation, or Jeremiah, the prophets in the scriptures. Most church sermons I hear are pastoral, and that's very needed. I think a steady diet of prophetic sermons would overwhelm people after a while. Some of it depends on who you're speaking to. If you're speaking to a congregation, the needs of the people are paramount to them. They don't hear the bigger picture as much. When I was on radio, I had a prophetic ministry. I called the nation to revival, more specifically the Christian nation, or the Christians within the nation, because I was looking at the bigger picture. I don't think that pastors can just avoid the big picture. And the truth is, most of them do. In fact, a lot of times, even your media ministries are pastoral. I never wanted people to call me Pastor Maines, because pastor is a term that refers to a local congregation. Some people, it didn't matter that much to them, but I was not a pastor in that sense. But I did have a prophetic voice. So there is a distinction between the two. It's kind of the distinction between the priests and the prophets in the Old Testament, if you please. Interestingly enough, Jesus plays both those roles. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's also the king. So he fills all the roles, but they were more distinct roles in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, they've become almost distinct roles today.
Insofar as the pastoral sermon or the prophetic sermon, which is more important?
Well, they're both important. It depends on what the day happens to call for. My personal feeling is events are happening so quickly in terms of our world, and also they're happening so quickly in terms of our nation. I mean, in my lifetime, there has been a huge downward shift in terms of the culture and a gigantic shift in terms of the church. The church is losing the younger people. The older people are the ones who are the givers in terms of the church, and the whole giving structure of our country is going to change immensely, because the new younger generation, they may change some as they grow older, but they're not going to be the same when they're older as the present older generation. So there are massive shifts taking place, and to, as a church, never address those issues is a real problem. I know that there are times when it's important to address the issues. There was a time in our country when everybody was talking about the election. In fact, there was a period of about a month where you couldn't get a paper that didn't have stuff in terms of the election going on. But if you'd go to the average Protestant or Catholic church during that time period, you would never, ever know there's an election going on. It's like it just wasn't happening. This is a time when the Islamic movement is huge all around the world, and the Islamic radicals are making phenomenal impacts around the world. But if you go to church, you'd probably never know that in most situations, because ministers are kind of caught up in the small aspect of their congregation, and they miss the bigger things that are giant movements that are happening in terms of the world. I think that the loss of the younger generation to the church is something that is colossal in terms of what is taking place. Why are these young people not coming? There's a reason, and we have to address those reasons, and to just say, it's not that big a deal for my congregation. You can't just avoid it. There is a prophetic voice that needs to be heard today. It's kind of the comforting voice of the pastor that you're going to hear, or the thundering voice of the prophet. Well, the truth is, the church is not thundering anymore, for the most part. I'm talking generally. There are those people, but there aren't very many compared to all the pastoral types there are.
One of the charges that's often laid against the church today is that the sermons that parishioners hear are not relevant. And it sounds to me as if relevancy can apply to matters that we would call pastoral, but they certainly can apply to matters we would call prophetic.
Yeah, much so. I think that there, when you talk about people's needs in terms of Christian marriage, that's a relevant topic, but it isn't necessarily a prophetic topic, you know. So relevant is a part of it, and I would say the way I'm hearing you talk, you're saying if you don't know what's happening in the world and you don't know what's happening in terms of the nation, how can you be relevant? Well, it's conceivable you can be relevant, but only partially relevant.
Again, we come back to a word that we see over and over again in the Christian life, and that's the word balance.
Mm-hmm, yes.
A balance between pastoral sermons and prophetic sermons. So have you heard a strong prophetic message of late?
It has been a long time since I have heard a prophetic message in relationship to my Sunday attendance. I've heard some really good pastoral sermons, but it's almost like we're living in a bubble. And I don't always go to the same church. I'm a part of a given church, but because of my travels and such, I get to hear a lot of different ministers speak. And I would say that almost always the sermons are pastoral. Sometimes there will be a reference to something that is going on, but it's just a reference and kind of a, it's you said, but it doesn't really dwell on a given topic. There was a front page story in the USA Today recently talking about the nones. It said there was a massive shift. Let me read just I photostated this. For decades, if not centuries, America's top religious brand has been Protestant. No more. I mean, this is the lead article in USA Today. Those are electrifying words, no more. In the 1960s, 2 in 3 Americans called themselves Protestant. Now the Protestant group, both evangelical and mainline, has slid below the statistical waters down to 48% from 53% in 2007. So that's 5 years it's dropped that much. Where did they go? Nowhere, actually. They didn't switch to a new religious brand. They just let go of any faith affiliation or label, according to a study out today by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. It says 1 in 5 Americans claim no religious identity. 1 in 5. I mean, we're talking 20%. The group called nones is now the nation's second largest category after Catholics and outnumbers the top Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist. So there are more nones than there are Catholics or Southern Baptists. This shift is a significant cultural, religious, and even political change. Now, what's really interesting to me, I read that and it's just like it came leaping off the page to me. And I remember reading that and then talking to ministers through the week or listening to the sermons. It was never even mentioned. It never came up, you know. I mean, this is the headline in the number one newspaper. I assume USA Today is the widest circulation. I don't know, maybe New York Times, Washington Post, I don't know. But at least it's a huge newspaper, and probably it was covered in those other newspapers because it is number one lead story news, and it's like nobody paid any attention to it in the local church. There were prophetic voices. In fact, I got one of them on my computer when I was looking, The Rise of the Nones and the Waking of the Ents. This happens to be from James Emery White. I think he was a former president at Gordon. But anyway, he says, and he's referring to a book that Tolkien wrote that almost everybody knows, in The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien writes of a race of ancient tree shepherds called the Ents. Have you read Tolkien, Dean?
Yes.
So the old Ents, the big mm-hmm. old trees. In the midst of the war between good and evil engulfing Middle-earth, the Ents are insular, worrying more about their lost ant wives. Many have fallen so deeply asleep that it's not clear whether they will ever awaken again. Young hobbits, Merry and Pippin, begin a relationship with the leader of the Ents, Treebeard, and do everything they can to open his eyes to the needs of the world in light of its great conflict. Somewhat successful in their efforts, Treebeard gathers together the few remaining mobile Ents for an ant moot to discuss the matter. Not all the Ents can walk anymore, but he's got the ones who are still mobile. So they are maddeningly slow and methodical. After days of convening, Treebeard breaks away to give the hobbits an update. Hoping to hear about their decision to go to war against the forces of the Dark Lord Sauron, all Treebeard reports is that they have decided that hobbits should be added to the accepted list of other known creatures. In the movie version, only when Treebeard sees the carnage enacted by the evil wizard Saruman against the forest as he bypassed the slowness inherent within his race, awaken all the Ents and go to war. Well, he's likening the whole of the church to the Ents, and he's saying the Ents have tremendous power, but somebody's got to wake them up. This should be a wake-up call. We're seeing that we're losing. The whole culture is changing. America in this generation is not America what it was in the past generation. the church is the thing that has to wake up, you know, and it's this, I read through his words and it gave me the goosebumps because I said, this is God's truth that is being stated here. So it's a prophetic voice. But I didn't even hear this referred to in a pastoral prayer. I never, you know, I write my sound bites every week and I put it right in the pastoral prayer. God, something's happening here that we have not been aware of. I don't know how many people use that in their services, but it's a prophetic voice that needs to be heard. And if people come to church week after week and they never make a connection between that front page story, which was also in television all across the land, but they came to church and it was never mentioned. It's like, we are so pastoral that we don't understand the prophetic voice that has to sound loud and clear. Wake up, ants. Yeah, it's there, but it's not in the average church.
Not in the average church at all. So why is this, David?
I tend to think that it's because a lot of the pastors don't live with that prophetic edge. They kind of are living in a land of make-believe in a way. If you're in the world today and you don't see what is going on with Islamic radicals? I mean, where are the Islamic moderates? You know, their voice, nobody ever hears of them. Are they there? I don't even know if they're there. But, you know, I'm going over to Nigeria to do reports because what is happening to Christians around the world, they're being slaughtered in a lot of ways. Churches, they're getting grenades thrown on them. The churches, gasoline poured on them, set on fire. And it's like, here, we don't even hear what is going on because nobody's sounding an alarm and saying something is happening throughout the world to our brothers and sisters. I don't know what it is, Dean. I don't understand. I don't know if it's that people don't read the same things I read or somehow they read them, but it doesn't seem to stir them inside. There is, I think the thing that I read before about the Ents, that's exactly where we are as a church. It's like we have incredible power, but we're dealing with things that aren't significant in terms of what is going on in the world today. I don't know how to change that necessarily, except to continue to speak about it like this.
Let me ask you a question. How many pastors that you've come across in the course of your years know the history? And the reason I ask that question is when I think particularly in terms of revival, because revival is the one time when God can sweep through and the movement of his spirit has such a cleansing power in the church that it's almost like a reset button gets pushed in
yes.
the church.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I find pastors that come across my pathway, almost none of them know anything at all about revival, the history of revival, the way God's moved in the past, the great significance of those movements of God. And without that historical perspective, there's no longing for what has happened before because they don't know about it. What's been your experience in that regard?
I don't know if it's they don't know or they have read about it, but it just passes by them. You know, if there ever was a day to call for revival, and revival is not to the outside world, it's to the church. And when you preach revival, it says, God, there's something terribly wrong with the church. Then it begins with, God, there's something terribly wrong with me. I am not who I need to be. The fire is not within me anymore. I'm going through the motions, but I'm not alive in it. I can't preach it with conviction. The pastorate hasn't come to that. And until they do, we won't see revival because that's where the sound is given. It's like this haze that is, people can't see through the haze. I don't know how to change it. In some ways, it's trying to get not only the culture to change, but the church to change. The great hope for America is the church. And the great hope for the church is the pastors. And if the pastors don't feel that, if they aren't compelled by it, how's it going to happen? I don't know the answer to it, Dean, but I'm identifying with what you're saying. I know that probably the hearts of some of the pastoral individuals listening to us are there. Maybe they're not. I just don't know. But that's the great hope for America. We can talk about the politicians having the answer. They don't really have the answer. The answers are in the hands of God's leaders. And what are God's leaders going to do? That's a prophetic message. You know, you'd go back into the prophets in Isaiah or Jeremiah. They say, the kind of prophets you want are the kind of people who say, let's have a good time. Let's all sit down for a drink. That's kind of a pastoral role in a sense. Let's just enjoy one another and let's make sure that we can solve our little problems. But it's the big problems that are going to kill us. If we don't, you know, where are the pastors coming together saying, together, how do we see this city? touch for Jesus, this city with desperate needs. It's kind of looking elsewhere and assuming that somebody else is going to solve it when we're the ones who really probably have the ultimate answer. I feel it. I feel it greatly. I sometimes say, Lord, you gave me a loud voice one day. I don't have it anymore. I'm not sure where to go, but we're talking like we are now and hoping people are listening to us and they're responding and they're saying what I had to say and what you have to say. It's all the time. Lord, here's a circle. This needs to change. I'm going to step in the middle of the circle and start with me. And if you can change me, then maybe I can change others. We're not who we need to be. God help us.
God help us indeed. Can you put what we're saying into a sentence?
Oh, I try to do this whenever we get talking. I try to say, okay, do I know where we're going? So I did that, yeah. I wrote down, whereas pastoral type messages are important, and I'm not minimizing that at all. Whereas pastoral type messages are important, ministers dare not overlook the need for the prophetic voice to also be heard. So I think as men and women in ministry listen to us, they have to say, what about my messages? Have I missed the prophetic edge? And if so, God help me to begin to sound that. Prophetic messages, people don't like them all that much. Because again, it's not only saying, as your spokesperson, God needs to change me, but he needs to change you guys too. That's not a message people really applaud and go for. It's a tough message, but it's a message from God. And it's a role that pastors have to play as well as just the comforting, shepherding role.
Amen. We're so grateful you joined us for our podcast today. Of course, you found our podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. As we always do, we invite you to come back and join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.